Thank you for joining us for That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here as ever with my lovely co-host, Karen Swim. She is the head honcho of Solo PR Pro, the tribe that brings all of our savvy smarties together. And we are so thrilled today. We are being joined by a very special guest, Chip Griffin. He is the founder of the Small Agency Growth Alliance, and you likely know his name from his incredible career as a coach in the digital PR and marketing worlds. So, hey, Chip. Hey, Karen. Thanks for coming around this week.
Hey, well, Michelle.
We are so happy to have Chip here. And I know Karen and I, you know, we love talking to each other, but it's nice to have someone else to talk to too. Right, Karen?
Yes. And Chip is one of my favorite people. So I am super excited today that we get to welcome him. And I always learn from him in every single conversation. He's just such an encyclopedia of information on so many things, but we're really excited that we're able to grab some of his time at the beginning of this interesting year.
it's a year. That's all it gets so far. It's just a year. Yeah.
This year, and tap him for some wisdom to start our businesses on the right track this year. So yay, I'm so glad you're here, Chip.
I am so excited to be here. I love talking. I love talking with you all. I love talking so much. I would just be talking to myself probably if I wasn't here. So it's all good.
So tell us a little bit about the Small Agency Growth Alliance, because that's relatively new.
It's relatively new, but it's quite a saga, you might say.
Oh, do tell. you have the talking stick, Chip. You have the
Excellent. So sorry for that corny little joke there using the acronym for the organization, but it is a rebrand that I did at the end of 2020. And so for the last few years, I've been running a business called Agency Leadership Advisors, and my focus has been on providing effectively management consulting and coaching services to PR and marketing agencies. And one of the things that became clear during the course of 2020 with how everything was disrupted and everything was new and different, that there was a real opportunity and a real need for small agencies to get some more direct assistance, just as you all, you know, specifically are focused on helping solos. Small agencies, those with, you know, less than 25 to 50 employees, they need more help than a lot of the folks that I was doing work with prior to that. And so my business evolved over that time. And at the end of the year, I made it official by rebranding as Saga so that I could really try to help many more small agencies than I was able to under my old model.
That's terrific, because I agree. I mean, yeah, I'm still basically a solo, but it's so nice to have this resource. I know I definitely signed up. I've yet to be able to attend any of the live streams, unfortunately, but I think it's such a needed thing, because we've been through such a year. You know,
as you know, whether you're solo or small, you've got a lot of the creativity, you've got nimbleness that's the larger players don't have. So True. You're able to deliver fantastic results for clients, but you don't have a lot of the infrastructure and know-how to run the business side of things. And so my goal is not to come in and tell you how to do the creative piece. There are plenty of people who can tell you how, you know, to create a better website or pitch better or use social media better, all those kinds of things. What I try to show folks is how do you turn that into a profitable business so that you get out of it what you want.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think that for so many solos, that's what, or I won't even relegate that to just solos. I'm going to say for many new business owners, period, it's you start a business based on, you know, more often than not, either there's a problem that you want to solve or you're pursuing a passion as a full-time pursuit. And you know how to do the actual work, that thing, you know, that's going to make it work, but you don't know the business part of it and how to create that infrastructure and how to really turn it into a business. So, you know, Chip, I know that we've had these discussions, and I know that this happens often for you as well, that you run into a lot of people that say that they're in business or that they work for themselves, but really they just have created a job for themselves and haven't yet made it to that next level of creating a sustainable business.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, what I always tell people is if you're a business owner, whether you have employees or not, you're taking on additional risk. You're taking on the risk of having to generate your revenue. You're taking on the risk of all of the, you know, regulatory and tax issues that you have, all of that. And so if you're going to take on that risk, then you need to make sure that you're getting the reward you want out of it as well. And so that means being thoughtful about it, because otherwise, you know, you could go get a job somewhere else. And if that's not what you want to do, then you need to think very proactively and intentionally about what you're building and creating.
No, that's very true. You know, looking back on this year that we just kicked to the curb, what can we learn from the 2020 experience to help us get a fresh start or a renewed start in this, you know, turn of the calendar page in 2021?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of really valuable lessons that have come out of 2020. And I frankly think there are some good things that have come out of 2020. Obviously, there's a lot of debris along the side of the road as well. But as we talk about kicking it to the curb, but there are some good things. And so, you know, the first thing is some of the observations I would make that, and you have to be prepared for change in your business. And that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be quarantine level change. But every business is going to go through change, whether you lose a big client or you gain a big client, whether something big happens within your industry that disrupts it, you know, whether it's something large and economic or, you know, political or global or any of those kinds of things. So you have to build a business that is flexible enough to adapt to those things. And that means, you know, you have to have some degree of a cushion. You have to have some type of a plan for how you're going to handle the most likely scenarios that come up. And if you start thinking that way, then when something big comes along, you get thrown for a loop for a day or two, but then you get right back on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. That's very true. I know, especially, you know, even as 2021 hits and we think we've made it, you know, fairly well through it, you know, some companies are revisiting their budgets and, you know, that could certainly change some landscapes in some of our situations for sure.
Look, if you're small, but again, solo or, you know, even if you got a few employees, I think budgets are nonsense. So seriously. Budgets are for large enterprises because budgets are permission to spend money.
True.
And that is not what you're doing. When you are small, you're really doing forecasts. You're forecasting what you estimate your revenue to be, what you think your new business development is going to be, and so what your attendant expenses are. But that's going to shift constantly. So coming up with a budget is really doesn't make a lot of sense when you're that small. You really need to think of it as a forecast. And for the next 3 months, it should be pretty solid. The 3 months after that should be still pretty good. And then it gets increasingly tougher as you move each quarter out. But that's, if you think about it as a forecast and you don't lock yourself into it, when things change for good or for bad, you don't overreact and overcorrect, which I think you do if you think about it as a set budget.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So let's say whether you're a solo starting out, or maybe you're a seasoned solo and you just, you know, yeah, you keep your books, you pay the bills. But as far as the business side of things, maybe your house isn't entirely in order. What are a couple of the main things that, you know, looking at the landscape of your business and the structure, what should we be paying attention to?
Mm-hmm. You need to start with what you want. And what you want is not most people think about it immediately in terms of money, but it's not just that. It's, you know, what are you trying to build as far as your own flexibility, your own work hours, the kind of things that you're doing? And so you really need to be clear about that. And a lot of people, as they went through 2020, changed their minds about what they wanted to be doing. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. So it's useful to, on at least an annual basis, sit down and reevaluate and figure out, you know, what do you need to make for money? How much time do you want to invest? Do you want to have flexibility so you can do long weekends when things reopen and you can go, you know, for a weekend ski trip or something like that? Do you need to have flexibility so that you have your afternoons blocked out so that you can go to kids after school things or these days so that you can be homeschooling them? You know, whatever it may be, you need to map that out and then build the business around that. And And I think that's something that gets lost on so many solos and agency owners, that they're not thinking about how do they construct the business to give them what they want from the non-monetary perspectives in particular.
You know what, Chip, you just hit on one of my all-time favorite words. I say this a lot. It's about intentionality, right? So you're not just allowing your business to happen. You're being intentional about creating what you want to have. And that does require really spending some time reflecting. And I like, that's why I love journaling and documenting things, not only in a business plan way, but even in a more casual way, because we do evolve and we change. And there are seasons of our life that we want more or less of certain things. You know, it changes. And so it's okay to have your business evolve for different time periods in your life. You know, there may be a time period where, as you noted, you want more flexibility and you're willing to take less revenue because the flexibility is more important to you. But then in a different season, maybe it's, you know, certain revenue goals that you want to hit and the flexibility part is less important. But I think, as you mentioned, you know, having the business that you want is so much more than how much money you're making, because I've always said the easiest thing in the world is to make enough money for you to live as a business owner. That's the easy part. You know, people coming out of corporate America are always worried. And I'm like, replacing your salary is no big deal. You could easily do that. That's the easiest hurdle to cross. It's all of those other things and really looking holistically about what that means. And I don't know about you guys, but if 2020 reinforced anything, it's that I need to wake up every day and love what I do. I need to look forward to my days, and I don't want to waste any time doing things that I don't enjoy, working with people that drive me bonkers. You know, I'm so thankful to have amazing clients that I enjoy working with that are respectful and collaborative and you know, have a sense of humor. And whatever that client type looks like for you, you should have that, right? I mean,
absolutely. And you've made a great point there too, because, you know, one of the things that that we've all been taught and that every consultant in the world will tell you, myself included, is that not all revenue is created equal. Some revenue is more profitable than others, but yes, but not all profit is created equal either. And 20 years ago, I had a business partner who taught me a really important principle when it comes particularly to consulting type activity. And that is what he called the pain per dollar ratio. And so you need to be very thoughtful about it. How much do you enjoy that money that you're making off of that client? How difficult are they to work with? Is it someone that you actually want to have on your roster 12 months from now? Because if not, then you should be coming up with a plan to swap that out for. I mean, it doesn't matter how it could be, you know, a 90% profit margin on that business. It doesn't matter if it's just brutal every time you sit down to do the work.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So true.
Love that. And I think, you know, you hit on something that's hard for a lot of people, but let me tell you, when you know, I always say that when you get rid of, you know, clients that don't allow you to do your best work, and it, you know, if you're frustrated, a client that requires way more handholding than you can accommodate, somebody that's not respectful of you, somebody that, you know, just creates an environment that's toxic for you, that money is not worth it. And when you have the courage to say no to the things that don't serve you well, you open up your space to better clients. Don't be afraid to ever fire somebody that's not a good fit for you. And you know what? You determine what's a good fit for you. That's no one else's choice. It's yours. But so often that one thing, we have the power to work with people that we choose to work with. But so often, so many solos and micro agencies and new business owners are afraid to exercise that power.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that in tough periods like 2020, maybe you don't make some, you know, you bend a little bit. You take on some work that you wouldn't otherwise do. I mean, sometimes you do need to do whatever it takes just to make ends meet. but you still have to have that plan, that vision for where you want to go with it. And so as I've been doing year-end planning with my clients at the end of last year and looking ahead to 2021, one of the questions I was asking was, how do you want to see your business look different? Not numbers, right? Because everybody's like, well, I want to grow by 10% or 30% or 50% or whatever. But what do you want the business to look like? What do you want your role to look like? What do you want your client roster to look like? And if you can paint that picture, it really makes a lot of the smaller decisions you need to make along the way a lot easier. And you don't stress them as much because you've got that vision about where you're going.
And that's a big component, right? It's, you know, how your day, how your work makes you feel. Because yes, you're working for the money, but you're also working for that feeling of accomplishment, of a certain lightness. And because, you know, if you stay in those situations where it's dragging you down and you feel like you're, you know, you're just not getting anywhere. And like you said, Karen, not doing the best work. I mean, look, we all know we compromise sometimes, you know. Clients are going to client, right? They're going to choose maybe the asset that you say, ugh, that doesn't look so good, but it'll do. You know, that builds up over time. And that can really, you know, can make you feel like you're off your game. And especially in the solo world, when we're sitting here by ourselves, like, wow, maybe I don't know what I'm doing, but I do know what I'm doing. Get out of that headspace. You deserve better.
Yeah. And one word that you've said there, Michelle, is really critical. It's your business. It is for you. And last year, Karen and I worked together on a group coaching program for some solos. And it was very clear from the very first meeting that people had different visions of what they wanted from their business. Some wanted to have employees one day. Some didn't. Some wanted to grow substantially. Some were just happy keeping it where things were, but just making it more efficient and more profitable. Everybody has their own goal. And so you should never sit there and look at what another solo is doing or another business is doing and say, I need to be just like them, because you don't. You need to be what is right for you at this time in your life. And it can change a year, 10 years down the road, but it needs to be what you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, and I love what you said about journaling, not just for yourself, but for your business. I have to say, I am terrible at that kind of thing, but I think it's a muscle I need to develop. And so, Chip, just as, you know, our solos and micro agency owners and whoever's listening trying to build their business, if, and, you know, you can kick me through the airwaves if I'm getting cheesy. If they were to just sit and, you know, have a journaling exercise on maybe one or two questions, do you have a recommendation, or should I just go sit off on my woo-woo cloud somewhere?
So, look, I think that different people have different styles. And so I think journaling certainly works for a lot of people. It doesn't work for everybody. I think that the critical thing is to have some way to talk out with yourself or with others the challenges that you're facing and the ideas that you have. And so that could take the form of a journal. Some people just like to blog regularly. Some people have, you know, will do, you know, daily social media posts where they sort of walk through things in a almost like a journal like fashion. You know, for me, a lot of it is through the podcasts and videos that I, the creator, that I'm a guest on, like this. I mean, even this show is causing me to think things through, refine things, and give me additional ideas. And so, you need to find the outlet for you that you're most comfortable with and that allows you to get those thoughts out there and help you shape what it is that you want to be doing and how you want to do it.
Excellent. Excellent. Challenge accepted.
Well, and I'm sure you know the by having this weekly show, this is an opportunity for the two of you to talk through a lot of the different issues. And I'm a regular listener. I'm a little bit behind, to be honest, because it's outside of grass mowing season, which is when I listen to most of my podcasts when I'm sitting on my tractor and trying to tame the weeds and grass and all that kind of stuff here at my house. But in New Hampshire, we're not going to see the grass again for about another 3 months. So, in any case, it's a great opportunity to talk things through. I know that the show that I have with Ginny Dietrich, the Agency Leadership Podcast, you know, the conversations that we have both on the show and pre-show are great. I have an accountability partner that I use that, you know, he's in a very different business. He's not in communications, but we've known each other for a long time. And so we will talk through a lot of the general business challenges. So just find whatever it is that works for you to be having those kinds of conversations.
And for our solos, I want to remind them that you are very fortunate to be listening to this particular podcast, because if you did not know Chip Griffin before, we have now introduced you to another fabulous resource for gaining information. Chip also does private coaching, and I can highly recommend him. He is so practical, so personable, and will help you to get your business life together in 2021. And I learned so much from him, even outside of the business world. He is killing the game in the video realm and mastering that whole thing. So he is my go-to guru for all things audio video as well. And he's got a YouTube show. He's just got a lot of things going on and a lot of ways that you can connect with him and learn from him. And, you know, of course, he is the podcast master and somebody that I've been following for a long time, and enjoy all of your shows, Chip, because you're everywhere.
So some people might call that unfocused, but, you know, we can think of it as just that I'm everywhere.
Not us. No, we don't call it that. And so, yeah, we encourage everyone to visit his website, smallagencygrowth.com, and find him out there in the video podcast sphere. And make sure you follow him and subscribe wherever you can find, because yeah, Chip, you have such wisdom, and we're so grateful that you took some time today to share it with us and our solo audience. And so, you know, to everyone out there, thank you so much for listening today. And we know, usually we say, we hope you got something out of it, but we know you got something out of it today. So, you know, share around, subscribe, and please do the same for Chip's online presences. So once again, Chip Griffin, thank you so much for your time today. And we always love talking with you. Until next time, thanks for listening to That's All Our Life.